You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nick.
Dude, So I want to keep this so light and happy, but I do have to say, a certain grand jury came out today and said some stuff.
We're just jumping right in, huh?
I gotta
say, where I come. This is my safe space to come to, like, get away from
from the madness of the world,
stuff like that, from the madness of everything.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm not going to say any names. You don't have to. I don't want to go into detail about it. We don't have to talk about it any more than I'm saying now. But I do want to say, not enough. Let's maybe hold people accountable for their actions and not just let, you know, people get away with murder. Let's not do that. I don't know.
Let's not do that. I mean, everything that's going to be leading up through November it's about to get real. I mean, it's been dark, but it's about to get real weird.
But you know what the thing that I do get does give me hope is I check my feed, and like, people, granted, you know, your feed is curated to whatever you want to see, but I have seen so many people just with such a good force and the good hope, and putting knowledge out there and putting info out there. Our guest today is definitely one of those people. But that has given me hope. But I just have to make space for that, because, you know, when people ask me how my day is going, so often I just say, oh yeah, it's a good day. Today I'm pissed, but I'm like happy to be here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I can hold both in space. You know, that is my complexity as an artist. That I can do that.
Your complexity as an artist. So if as an artist, you could sum all these feelings up into one word, what would it be?
Fuck!
Little justice. Fuck yeah.
I was kind of hoping you'd say vote.
Oh God. Welcome to Little Justice, this thing we do. I am Nick Walker.
I'm Alex Smolo. Oh,
sometimes you just gotta give a general yell just to get it out.
Just shout it out.
Shout it out, you know, and hope that we can edit it in post. But welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are so glad to be here talking movies with you today. And we are so glad about today because we have a guest who truly I have wanted to get this man on this podcast for a long, long time. He is a friend. He's an amazing actor, an incredible person, really, and is just a light in the lives of so many. Brandon Routh, get on in here. How you doing? Silence. Oh.
And? Oh, no. Did you just introduce me? My Wi-Fi cut out just as you were introducing me.
It's so good. It's brilliant.
You started the wind-up, and I started to hear these nice things, and then it just went
a beautiful climax.
And then I thought I heard a drum roll finally.
No, it was perfect. That's exactly how this should go. It's 2020. This is it. This is how it should. Dude, how you doing, man?
Oh, you're doing all right. You know, one day at a time.
Yep.
One day at a time.
That's what we're saying. That's all you can really do.
That's all you can really do. Yeah. No, this man, if you don't know this man, then you guys have not been paying attention, because he has been everywhere in the world. Scott Pilgrim, Legends of Tomorrow, more TV shows than I can count. Perhaps the thing that means the most to me, and I will tell why in a second, because Brandon, I've actually never told you the story, is that this man came onto the scene as Superman in Superman Returns, and blew us all away. Really, 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 really incredible performance, and probably I will say this, one of the best versions of Superman that's ever been on a screen. Just kindness. And that's what we love.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
No, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. So we are just so happy to have him on. But yeah, dude, day at a time. It's pretty crazy. So yeah, what have you been doing with your quarantine?
Yeah, what you up to?
Well, I've been letting my hair grow.
Love it.
And so, you know, maybe I'm at my longest hair growth. That's been exciting, but I'm ready to probably get it cut. But, you know, that means going out into the world. And, currently we're pretty much, we've been quarantined for quite a while. We obviously go out and have some exercise time, but we've done our job as best we can to stay out of the way. And, help this thing to not to blow over, but to get through it.
Get to the other side.
A lot of talks, a lot of social. You know, we're all here together. So we have Courtney and I have an 8-year-old son now, Leo, who's a big fan of Knicks.
Hi, Leo.
Talking about all that and his wonderful, amazing performances. And so we've been talking a lot about what's going on in the world. So that's been positive, but also scary.
Yeah, I mean, what's that like? I'm super curious with a young child, because I have friends with kids like around that age, maybe a little younger, a little older. But like, what's it been like just trying to explain what is going on?
Man. You know, he picks up things very easily and tone. And you know, if we're in a funk or we read some news, he just hears, almost like he feels our emotional shift. He's like, what's going on? And so we're often have a lot of conversations. And, we, you know, before this, we did our best to talk about things that are important in the world, and discrimination and sexism and racism and all of these things that are challenges that humanity is dealing with. But now it's thrust into the forefront. And so, you know, talking about COVID and not wanting to frighten him, not making him think that he's in danger. So it's giving him knowledge, but letting him know that he's still safe and that we are going to take care of him, I think is kind of the thrust. And Courtney's really great about knowing how to manage these conversations. So I usually just, I follow her lead. So it's like telling him, know that this thing is happening. It's affecting a lot of people and it is dangerous, but you're safe because children have a much better job of fighting and aren't getting sick as often. And we're doing everything we can by staying home and wearing masks when we go out to do our best to keep ourselves safe. So you keep it short and sweet,
yep.
But you do have to give them the truth to a degree. It's when you hide the truth, especially for Leo, because he's very good at sussing out when you're hiding something. If you can give him enough of a truth about it, then he can make sense of it, because it's when kids can't make sense of an experience that they come up with their own idea and understanding. That gets into a whole other thing of like unconscious memories that we have, childhood trauma that our parents didn't explain when some big event happened in our lives. They didn't explain what was happening in a way that we could understand. So we've made up our own story, which is often wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a whole generation of kids. Sorry to cut you off there. Where like this is just at that moment in his life where he's supposed to be going, you know, kind of breaking away a little bit to start socializing and being away from the parents and the home during the day and like getting sort of that outward thing. And now suddenly it's a long term period of being back in. I'm sure that's got to be confusing.
I'm his playmate. I'm his major playmate at this point. And mom,
you could have worse playmates.
No, I know. So it's me. It's me letting loose and letting go. And
yeah, is that fun for you?
It's an experiment. You know, I got to tell you, it's being a parent is continual letting go of a lot of things. But yeah, you know, I have to. The big thing now is he just got a Switch for his 8th birthday. We finally got that.
Okay. Yes.
And so he loves Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers. And so he's the Super Mario Maker too. So he's been making all kinds of Super Mario levels and he's played many of the Super Mario games. So we go to the park or just on a walk and we're imagining fighting Koopas and Bowser and Spinies and all these things. So he's making it up and I'm just following behind him. You know, we're running. He's like, run up, left, right, dodge. And I realized after a couple of days of doing this that he wasn't looking behind me, so I didn't have to do all the dodging and shifting. I could just run behind him.
It's a cheat code. You got a cheat code.
Yeah. But then I realized actually I needed to get a workout, so maybe I should be doing those things. It's like the only workout I'm getting. So
brilliant. No, but this is the thing that I definitely want to say. And you know, since I have met you, man, you have always led with such a positive honesty, and it really is. You know, I think, you know, having gotten to hang out with you and your amazing family, it is absolutely this thing of just being real, but also, again, I just got to say, kindness. And that actually leads me into kind of my I really got to prop you up, dude, because so, you know, for those of you who listen in from time to time, I did do a show called Hamilton and I was on the road with the show for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And those 2 years were incredibly fulfilling and rewarding. And I got to do amazing things and meet amazing people. But it was also incredibly, incredibly lonely. And especially as Burr, you know, my show is my life. So I'm, you know, everything I'm doing in the day is about those 3 hours at night or in, you know, the matinee. So we met really randomly, I think, because you were, it was honestly because of Leo.
Yeah.
Cause Leo, Leo was at the stage door and saw, you know, and was just like being amazing. I think he was dressed up like was that when he was dressed up? Like he had like a yes. little, I think I seem to remember like a cravat.
Yes. We made a cravat out of something, Courtney. I think it was her slip. I think it was like it was something or a blouse.
What is a cravat?
Oh, if you don't know, buddy, then you need to know because it's a frilly.
Are you quoting Hamilton now?
No, he's it's not back. Even. It's a frilly. It's like a. It's like the little frilly.
Things that
hang down in front. Yeah,
before the bow tie.
And yes, before the bow tie, the jabot gotcha. is what's also called the you know whatever. But it was this kid looked amazing. And was like wearing this fine like almost like
velvet jacket.
Oh my God, it was so awesome! And I was like, "Yo, this kid is amazing!" And then his father walks up, and I'm like, "Wow, I know this man." but also was just the kindest man. And we just ended up staying in touch after yeah. that because then when the show came to Des Moines,
I don't think we exchanged numbers, but Twitter, I think it was Twitter or something.
Twitter, yes.
Or Instagram or something. We reached out and found each other.
No, dude, it's beautiful. So Des Moines, the reason bringing this story to a close, you were so kind. You brought the family back. You came to see the show again. And then I hope it's okay that I say this, you took my cast out for dinner, which was so kind of you.
That's a big cast.
It's a bit, and it was about 10.
That's
it was
a big dinner.
I think it was about like 10 or 12 of us that we just went out and like it was just like this restaurant that you. I don't know how you what you did what you said what you you know but like you set that up and I tell you this because for two reasons. Number one, because you know again we're on the road and we're getting paid good money to do a good show and we're having fun, but like. To be taken care of by people is something that it means a lot to us. Every city we go to have that kindness, especially because Des Moines specifically was such a good city for us where like, you know, that was like the Yankee Doodle Pop yeah. city. That was like all these cool things that happened in that city. But just that. And then on top of that, I will say, and this is when we get a little mushy. So I'm going to be real with you. So when you talk about stories from your past, my brother, it's going to get really dark, but it's going to get much lighter. My brother, was put in jail when I was 17. And the day that we found out that he would be in there for a long, long time, the day that his verdict came down, my mom, it was just my mom and me. And she took us to the movie theater and we saw Superman Whoa. Returns.
Wow.
And it truly, I swear to goodness, man. And I'm just telling you, like, you really don't, I know, I'm sure you've heard all these stories at this point in your career, but like, that was such a, that movie, just seeing goodness on screen, like you have no idea what that did, dude. So thank you because that truly was something that helped me out. So yeah, man, it's kind of this crazy kismet thing meeting you. Cause I'm like, yeah, that was a huge moment in my life.
You're welcome.
So thank you.
I mean, I'm so happy that the film was there to help support you in that time. And I think that's one of the amazing things that art gives us is sometimes we need an escape. Sometimes we need to hear that somebody else has the story that we have had. And sometimes it's just a hero.
Yeah, man.
You know, we all need that sometimes. So I, you know, that's very powerful. And thanks for sharing.
Oh, hey.
What was it like meeting me, Nick?
It was disturbing, you know, because I met you and I knew that you would hurt me in some way. You would probably,
yeah.
you know, Brandon, we have this thing on the show. Alex is obsessed with my wife and really has done everything he can to destroy
my... two-way street.
Man. No. Let's be real. You know what I mean? Let's be real. It's really... You know, he shows up. My wife now lives out by you guys, so he shows up at my wife's house. It's very terrifying that I don't have any access or understanding of what could happen from day to day. But yeah, let's.
So Brent,
let's
you live ahead. You live in LA now, but and this will get into our theme for today.
Yes, you're from Norwalk, Iowa, which is about 5 miles south of Des Moines, and. You know, that's one of the reasons when Nick and the cast was in Des Moines that I wanted to treat them well, have a good experience in my home state, represent, and also just say, you know, how much Hamilton had influenced in such a positive way our lives, and they should know that and celebrate that. And also, it was just cool for us and for Leo to be able to experience that. We've never done that for anybody else or any other cast. It was just this, you know, kind of unique moment in time. And
is it kind of a big thing to roll through Des Moines? I've never been to Des Moines personally.
Is it a big thing? No, I don't think it's a big thing to roll through Des Moines.
Or, no, I mean, like for Des Moines, like Hamilton coming through, is that kind of like a big event? People flocking in from all around the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think the show did very well. It was sold out. The whole time I imagine, you know, we don't get everything. We don't have a professional sports team of any kind in Des Moines of the upper echelon. So, you know, in many ways we get overlooked. But thankfully for arts and things like that, I think our audiences show up and they respect and respond to it. So thankfully we get things like Hamilton.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, dude. No, it was, and I will say truly, Des Moines, you know, and like I say this, it's so funny because like at a certain point, all the towns you go to blur together just because you've seen so many, but Des Moines absolutely stands out. It was like one of those towns that was like, oh man, okay, Des Moines, we're going to go to Des Moines. Cool, cool, cool. How long are we spending there? Oh, like a month. Okay, cool, 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 cool. All right, let's figure that out. But then we go there and it's actually like one of the most fun towns that we go to. And like we had a blast, and that was also like our first summer as a cast. So like we were already like partying and then this great town shows up and it was just great. Yeah. But yeah, man. So, okay. So talk to us a little bit about that. So you're coming from Norwalk, go to University of Iowa. And then I guess this is really the most important question. How do you end up in the Christina Aguilera video? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Let's kind of connect those dots.
I mean, it is the pinnacle in many ways of my career.
Just downhill from there.
Well, you know, it was going, this is the first year, first couple months I was out in Los Angeles, and it was through casting, I think through my modeling agency or my commercial agency, cattle call, you know, went to, I think it was Castaway Studios, which used to be on Beverly Boulevard or in Los Angeles. And it was just, you know, I don't even know what we were supposed to do, dance or just act cool, which I can do neither of, but somehow I was hired because I looked like I could do it still. And then, you know, that was it. And I was excited and I didn't even know who Christina Aguilera was at the time, although I'd heard the Genie in the Bottle song a little bit. So I was like, I've heard the song on the radio. That's who she is. And I showed up with a whole bunch of other, you know, 20 something guys and some very talented dancers, the women, and they danced and we sat on the couch like we were cool. And that was a couple days of work.
Brilliant. Was it this is kind of your first taste of being on this large of a, I mean, I'm assuming what was a large production. I mean, it's what a girl wants. So that's, you know, was it jarring? Was it just kind of like, okay, no, this is chill. You know what I mean? Like what was the,
it wasn't the first set I'd been on, but it was the first music video. And I think it was the kind of flashiest.
Gotcha.
So it was pretty, I was a little starstruck and even though she had just come on the scene to be in the video. So I was pretty excited about it. just talking to all the other young people about their experiences, and most of them had done other music videos or were complaining about the hours, because you don't get, they're long, like 16, 18 hour days. And, you know, you don't get treated, you know, like you do with other productions sometimes.
Yeah. And you just listen to the song play over and over.
Yeah. And try to act like I know how to dance, or maybe I thought I did know how to dance then, but. Or at least move with rhythm. I can move with rhythm. That's what I've got.
Listen, that's what we've all got.
So now it's a funny thing that I can just go, look, there's my elbow. There's half of my face. There's my shirt.
So was this like, had you like come from Iowa, like move to LA seeking, you know, whatever, or like what were the circumstances that even brought you here?
So yeah, long story short, I was going to the University of Iowa as an English major. Loved the college experience and wanted to continue that. Then through just kind of not a fluke, but a couple things happened during spring break of my freshman year. And I looked into a local modeling talent agency in Des Moines. They said, hey, we think you got to look. There's this thing in New York called IMTA. It's basically a big cattle call. Where you do like runway and you do monologues and these little things, and agents and managers go, and you could get representation. So I ended up doing that. My parents didn't have the money, but they, you know, put it on their credit cards and sent me out there because my parents are both musicians. My mom's a singer. Hmm. My dad's a drummer, and they met playing jazz in the Des Moines Big Band back in the late 70s. Cool. So the performance was in a family, and my sister's a singer-songwriter. And anyway, I did it. I thought, this is a door that's open. Why not give this a shot? Went out there, had success, met my first manager and got a modeling agent. And the manager said, hey, why don't you come out to LA for 3 months and give it a shot? Which was a really challenging decision for me because I wanted to, I was very excited about school and going back to school. But I decided to do it, came out, moved out to Downey, California, which is about 40 minutes outside of LA, and lived with my great aunt and uncle for about 6 months. And it was in that process or in that time period that the music video happened. And then my first job, which was a small part on a sitcom, five lines. And then I was hooked basically after I did that sitcom because of the live studio audience. And that had me hooked. And I thought, I'm going to stay. Give us a shot for real.
Yeah, because you said you'd never even really considered doing it before, you know, so to like, it's a big transition to think like, oh, like I'm an English major and I'm studying to do this and I'm having fun at school, to being like on a soundstage, you know, with an audience and on TV like that. That's a pretty dramatic shift. And it only went up from there.
Yeah. I mean, I was very naive at the time. And that's what allowed me to have the audacity to think that I had a chance at this, and to not be too afraid, I guess, of failure.
Yeah.
I have fear in other places, but that for some reason I was like, oh, this makes sense. I could do this. Sure. And it was because of that, naivete and ignorance, I guess, that helped me begin my first time on a soundstage. I remember being back at the craft service going, wow, I'm just like back here talking to the cast. Wow, this is cool. And I was probably like doing that thing that a lot of green actors do when the first time on set, it was talking too much, insinuating yourself too much with the main cast. Because literally right. I said five words, you know, aww, in this thing.
Oh, I'm sure that it, yeah, it's like that show, yeah. Extras. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch that?
Very much.
But it's also this great thing because, you know, I love the audacity because, like, so, you know, I'm teaching right now, I'm teaching at NYU, and that's half of what I'm telling my students is just like, so much of this is just the confidence to just step out there and try it. Do you know what I mean? And see what happens, and see what happens if you talk to the principal cast members and see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, because there's mm-hmm. There's truly no rules to this thing. That I think is the thing that I always find is like, no matter what you studied in school, no matter what you did, no matter how good your technique is or whatever you think you are, at the end of the day, like it's such a crapshoot anyway that you might as well just be yourself and just like see what happens. You know, and that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
With this.
I mean, there are rules, but a lot of the time following the rules doesn't make you stand out and doesn't, you don't always have to follow the rules in life. if you're not hurting anybody, you know, sometimes that's why rules are, yeah. are meant to be, yeah. to be broken or changed. You know, you have to obviously have some kind of level of a social, emotional intelligence to know if you're over talking or oversharing or asking questions or bugging somebody, which I don't think I had at the time.
Yep.
But I was also, I don't know, I did okay. I didn't get kicked off the set, and I don't think I was too much, but I was probably more than they were expecting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an experience you remember, and like I'm sure, unless you're being really bad, that you know they appreciate someone who's excited yeah. to be there, who wants to be there, who's you know not just going through the motions. No.
And again, clearly it worked out pretty damn well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a quick advertisement break to pay for things, but when we come back, we will have some money movie money. Choices for you. We will be right back. All right, and we're back from whatever advertisement just paid our bills. I think you know, Brandon, when I look at your career, I look at your life, I think I want to just go ahead and say this. I think you've done okay. I think you've kind of achieved some things. You know, and what do I know? I'm just a guy.
More or less.
Yeah. No, I mean, career-wise, there's definitely been great success. And looking back at all the experiences you have in life, you know, I think it's even the downs are important experiences to have. That's the life of anybody, I think, is about your successes and your failures. And when you have a failure, it is understanding why it might have happened, why it needed to happen so that you could learn something. And then you can move forward and create a different path the next time you're presented. You know, these things kept happening to me in my life. And some negative things would keep happening. I go, why does this keep happening? I realized that, or somebody wiser than I had brought up the idea that they keep yeah. happening because you have to, it's an opportunity to deal with it in a different way. And until you do, it's going to keep coming up. Mm. It's going to keep manifesting for you in this way.
What's it been like now, you know, you're married and you have a son that you're spending a lot of time with? Like how does that compare? How did your experience with career ups and downs shape coming into being a dad and living the life you're living now?
That's a good question. I have to think about rather than just give a trite answer.
Sorry, we get deep on this show.
Yeah.
We try.
You know, I think that if we're going to parallel acting and parenting, it's about listening. Those are both valuable aspects of being successful at both of those things. And when I say listening, it's listening to your child, also listening to your partner, and listening to yourself. You know, so there's that also lines up with self-awareness, because you have to, and the study of humanity and the study of people, mm-hmm. because in order to be a successful actor, I think it's important to understand that you're doing a study of people. How does this yep. person interact in the situation? So I have to first know how I might react to the situation. And then once I have a basis of understanding how I react to the situation, I can use that to help create with building of a character. But it also goes to when you're parenting, listening and understanding why you react in a certain way to a child yelling or being frustrated or not following the rules that you put forth, mm. and be aware of what comes up. What is your response? Are you responding with love and compassion, or are you responding out of some stored response that a parent showed you that has become that you're just mimicking right. without even knowing that you're doing it? So, you know, I've learned a lot, and I wish I could go back and change some ways that I have responded to things earlier in my parenting career. But I've learned from many of those and go, you know what? I don't have to do it the same way, or I don't have to yeah. respond to, yeah. I can make my own choice. And it's important to realize that I have a choice in how I react to this situation, to stop some of the patterns of, you know, I had lovely parents and they're wonderful people, but We all make mistakes along the way. Yeah. And then as you become a parent, it's your opportunity to look at that again and say, hey, do I want to pass this down or do I want to change it for the better?
Yeah.
Alex, please. Please, you go.
Has it shaped your approach to your career? Because your wife is also an actress, mm-hmm. so you guys kind of have similar career trajectories. Have things altered in the last few years?
Well, I think we've become more open to where we work. Mm-hmm. And your idea about what you need in a career and where you want to be shifts with a child, because what right. becomes the focus is family, and where career used to be like the thing, the driving force, it becomes a little bit less important in some ways, because what's important is providing finances and a house and a roof and food right. and stability and safety. And so, you know, you kind of, those things shift a little bit and say, you know what, where can we as a family go and be safe and stable and have a more of a normal life? You know, when I first started working in Vancouver on Legends of Tomorrow, it was challenging because I was having to fly back and forth every weekend, and only seeing Leo, you know, and Courtney for 36 to 48 hours or maybe even 24 hours a week. And it was exhausting. Wow. But I had to do it. And then when Courtney started working on Supernatural, I saw them more often. And then Courtney started working on Legends and became a series regular. And then we were doing great. And Leo was going to school up there. And we were all in the same place. And whereas Vancouver was, it's a lovely city, but it wasn't where I wanted to be. It was like, oh, this is great. It's a great family place and we're working. And then when everything happened last year with finishing our time on Legends, we were eager to get back to Los Angeles and restart things there. And we got back to Los Angeles and then the pandemic hit and social.
Yeah. The universe was like, you want more time with your kids. I got just
social
for you.
And the unraveling of civilization and all these things. And we're like, you know what? Let's go. Maybe we should go back to Vancouver.
Yeah,
it was pretty great up there.
Oh yeah, man. No, it's crazy. You know, the curveballs that we've all been thrown, but I think what I'm hearing is just even before the pandemic, just the ability to adapt and the ability to forgive and the ability to be aware and keep growing. I think is
the
what
ability
I'm
to
away.
Adapt and to let go and to take responsibility. We're talking a lot about movies, aren't we?
I mean, yeah.
You know. These are life skills that everyone needs, and we're all, whether we know it or not, we're hopefully learning them. And when you become more aware of everyone's need to learn things, it becomes easier and less painful. You know, I resisted changing for a very long time. I might have been successful with some of my projects, but I was also very stubborn and ignorant to a lot of my flaws and things that I needed to do and take responsibility for, and the way I showed up for my family and for myself. And, you know, it's a continual change. The people say, you know, the phrase, the older you get, the less you think you know. And that is so true. And I think letting go of what you think you know is important. That's cliche. But, you know, when I was younger, I was more judgmental of my people. And so I was also judgmental of characters. So I had an inability to play certain characters because I blocked them out. It's like, why would anybody do this? I can't.
Interesting. Well,
why wouldn't it be that stupid or be that mean to do those things? And then I realized through work and meeting people and being alive and also discussions with Courtney that you know, there's a reason why everyone is the way they are. There's a reason why our president is the person that he is right now. He wasn't born a terrible human being. There were all kinds of these incidents and events in his life, lack of love, trauma, oppression in his own way that has created this version of him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm rambling, but that's how you can, you have be more accepting of the story of a person in order to, I guess, step into their shoes as an actor. And that also helps as life to accept people in life who are different from you.
Do you see it as like a sympathy you need to have? Like, do you need to, is it feeling where they're coming from and putting yourself in that position? Or is it just kind of basic understanding?
I think the key to helping all of this is empathy and compassion. Yeah. Because look, I can put myself in young Donald Trump's shoes as a child. Although I don't know his experiences, but I've seen enough movies and heard stories enough to know that
pretty easy to imagine.
If you don't water a plant, what's going to happen to it? If you don't give love to somebody, how can they know love? So I don't excuse what he's doing, but I understand, and so that's the thing. Also, people get into a place where like have love for everybody. I have love for humanity, but I don't excuse and I don't tolerate you hurting and oppressing another human being. So I won't just because I might have love for you doesn't mean you get to walk all over me and do whatever you want.
Right.
The human experience is me saying, no, that's not what I want. And I don't think that is loving and kind and compassionate.
Yeah.
So
the correlations between what's going on between the government and the people right now is so akin to an abusive relationship.
So much.
It's not like the correlation is exact.
No, it's ridiculous. Scary. And I think it is a great, because look, at the end of the day, with everything going on, and we are a movie podcast, and we will talk about movies, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you we will. The movies are coming. They are coming. But this is important
stuff.
Five-hour
podcast. In the last half hour, we talk about movies.
At some point, we get there. At some point. But no, I think what I love, and this is, I think it's no coincidence that you find yourself in a lot of superhero stories, because when I think of, empathy, I think of the thing that comes into my mind always is Killing Joke. And it's that idea of one bad day, right? One bad day separates Batman from Joker. That's all it took was one bad day. And I think about, I do think about a Donald Trump, and I do not excuse him, and I do not excuse anybody who is enacting any sort of pain on the global or individual community or anything. Individual community is not a good phrase, but I don't excuse any of that, but I do understand that this did not come to be. You are born into the world with choice and with openness, and the things that happen to you and how you take responsibility for those things really matters. And again, I just want to say that's what I'm hearing as you describe your role as a father and as a responsible actor, right, is the idea that, you take responsibility at some point. At some point, I think it was James Baldwin who said, people pay for what they do, and they pay for it quite simply by who they become, by who they allow themselves to become.
Yeah.
And that is very much what the responsibility is of an actor, of an artist, of a person, to look at themselves and continually, especially when you're in a marriage, reevaluate and grow. And I think that's just really beautiful that you're doing that. And not to take us off this beautiful thing, but there is one topic that I do want to get to before we dive into the theme. We haven't even talked about the theme in the movies.
We haven't talked about the theme.
We haven't talked about anything. We're just talking. No, but it's great. It's great. No, but I do want to, obviously, as I said, your work has meant so much to so many. And there's one person who definitely your work has meant a lot to. And this person was kind enough to record a message for you. And we're not going to say that we didn't pay for this message, but we did. Maybe not, but we did. But let's see if you can hear this. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but here we go. Let's see.
Greetings and salutations, Brandon Routh, one of my favorite actors, It may be because you bear a striking, and by striking, I mean very arousing, resemblance to my lover, Bobby Long. Bobby should be around here somewhere. I think he's out back. He's helping our new pool boy get acquainted. I should go check on
No, that. I'm not going to take up the entire time with that message. I will send it to you because it's quite brilliant and you need to see his face as he does it. But he did want to say,
my dear Brandon St. Randy,
you were both making love to George Hamilton.
We literally,
and of course the proceeds of that are going to charity. We thought it was a good opportunity
to give back.
Yeah,
because we saw to give back. To give back to the community. We saw that Justin Long was on because I'm on Cameo and he was doing a charity thing for Cameo. And I was like, you know what, that actually might be hilarious.
Example, his only weakness. Well, I don't want to. I shouldn't say it on film because I think I could get arrested for it, and I think they're illegal in this country.
No, I hope you don't mind. It's fantastic, and I know that he's done many other videos for people as Brandon St. Randy. But for me specifically, I'm honored, and it's funny. You know, Justin's he's hilarious and amazing, and we only worked on that movie for did we only shoot one day? It was one or two days. It was very short in Pittsburgh. Great time working with Kevin Smith and everyone. But we kind of like, you know, you become family sometimes, even just a short amount of time. And we haven't talked a lot over the years, but it's like we have that connection through those characters because it made such a positive impact on people. Like people just, we struck a chord with people with those characters and largely because of him. Again, a lot of the time it's knowing when somebody is on it and doing the thing and you just sit back and kind of react rather than trying to take focus. And that's what I did with Justin. You know, he made that character and I just, you know, was along for the ride.
It truly, if you haven't seen Zach and Miri Make a Porno, which is a hilarious movie in its own right, that scene is stunningly hysterical. I literally like I was watching it a couple nights ago. I was like, yeah, this is gold. And I mean, I know this is such a cliche question, but like, do you understand when you're making that kind of a scene that is going to be like such an iconic thing? Because I got like truly, it just kind of carved its notch into people's memories as just one of the funniest scenes of that year. It was hysterical.
I mean, you don't always know what it's going to be when the audience sees it. I just know that filming it was an amazing experience. And we did, you know, Kevin gave us the dialogue. They had the script and they had some like alternate choices for lines, but just a few. And he said, I'm just going to, you know, you guys do your thing. I'm just going to let it roll. And we did like three or four 10-minute takes of just like back and forth and improv. And, you know, we were busting up, you know, Elizabeth and Seth and our in each other and Kevin behind the monitors and the crew. So, you know, it felt like there was some kind of gold there. But did I know that it was going to be, you know, as big as it was for the audience? No, but I'm certainly happy that it's been that.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant things. All right. Well, look, we've been talking for 46 minutes. We still haven't talked about these movies.
Oh, wow.
So you know what? Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss the theme of today's show, because that's an important thing to do is talk about theme
let's,
and movie.
Let's
film.
Do that.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Stay tuned and join us on the next episode when we actually talk about the thing that we are here to talk about. Bye.
Little justice. Fuck yeah.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the Rise Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. Rise is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.